Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, every day we're confronted with examples of people lying and deceiving, and repeatedly and shamelessly. People are lying to grand juries, lying to congressional committees. Elected officials lie to their constituents. The media lies to its watchers and its readers. And we see it happen more and more, ladies and gentlemen, but I don't think we're considering well enough the costly implications to our society that lying to each other is doing. For instance, let me ask you this simple question. Maybe never thought about it, but this. Is it possible to keep the freedom that we have had and enjoyed in this nation if lying remains acceptable? You ever thought about this? Can our constitutional republic survive if elected officials, judges, citizens, and pastors lie to those they are sworn to serve? And can we survive when there are certain religions or ideologies who are in and amongst us who actually teach that lying is right? The answer, I would submit, is no. And as a result, the future of our nation literally hangs in the balance. So we got to deal with this issue of truth today. And with that, I welcome you to Stand in the Gap today. I'm Sam Rohr, and we're going to be today with Dave Kistler and Gary Dahl. Here on the program, we do our very best, ladies and gentlemen. We take our, opportunity and responsibility seriously to stand in the gap for truth all the time when we are envisioning and seeing that, in fact, truth is falling in the street. Now, we also have today our special guest, David New, who's with us every other Thursday, constitutional attorney and biblical scholar as well. He is with us today. So our general theme today, ladies and gentlemen, is this: truth. Is it essential or is it a luxury? And we'll answer these questions. What is truth? Is truth essential? What are the implications of rejecting truth? And we'll conclude the program with the steps to restoring a culture of truth. And with that, I welcome you, Dave, and Gary, and David New. Thanks for being on the program today here. And Dave Kistler, I'm going to get right into it because we have a lot to go over today. I want to start with you. We talk a lot about it, and we encourage all of our listeners regularly that when you hear words being used, get the definition established, define the terms. So define, Dave, for us, the simple definition, as best you can, of truth. What is truth?
Well, Sam, I would say this. Truth is conformity to reality. Conformity to reality. It is an admission of that which is real, that which is factual. Let me give an example. The facts of the matter is this. We have in our homes outlets that have electricity running through them, or to them, rather. You can take a bobby pin, a nail, or something else. You could stick it in that outlet. Why would you want to do that? But if you did, the fact or the reality is this. If you do that, you're going to get shocked. You're going to get electrocuted. You're going to get burned. We can deny that fact or deny that reality, but it is a denial of the truth. It is a denial of what is. And so I would say the most simple, basic definition of truth is conformity to that which is real.
All right, Dave, conformity to that which is real. So let's just use that as an example, as the definitional base. I think it's clear enough. We'll expand more upon it. Gary, let me go to you with this important question. We know, and I'm saying that because the statistics are there, we know that there's been a wholesale rejection of the concept of what we refer to as absolute truth by our culture. It means that there are some things, these things that Dave is talking about, this conformity to reality, some things that are always true. And actually, it's crept within the Church of America, where we know so many don't believe any longer in absolute truth. We talk about it on this program continually. My question to you is, why is the recognition and the acceptance and the embracing of absolute truth, which stands in contrast to relativistic truth or changing truth, why is that important, and what is the source of absolute truth?
Well, you know, if there is no absolute truth, then anybody can do that which is right in his own eyes. And of course, we know that that was the case back in the Old Testament book of Judges. I want to encourage people to get their Bibles. Not now, we don't have time. But get your Bible and read Isaiah chapter 59. Because in Isaiah 59, verses 14 and 15, it says, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off." Why? "For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey," and so forth. That was given about 700 years before the time of Christ, and you need to read that entire chapter to see what he's talking about. But here's the point. When you do away with absolute truth, you do away with judgment, and you do away with justice, and that's where we are today. As it relates to absolute truth is found in God. It's found in God's Word, and the reason why we are turning away from absolute truth to truth that is not absolute, truth that is relative, is because of the fact that people are taking the Word of God completely out of their lives. They are removing the source of truth from their lives when they remove God and His Word from their lives.
Okay, Gary, you laid it out very well. If we walk away from truth, we lose judgment and justice, and the source of truth identified as God and God's Word. David New, let me go to you now from a legal perspective. You're a constitutional attorney perspective. That's the framework in which you operate. How does truth factor into law that is made, or truth as it would relate to, for instance, court proceedings or testimony by a witness or law that it would be enforced by the executive branch? How does truth factor into those items in civil government?
Well, truth factors into law really from the great lawgiver, and that is in Exodus, the third chapter, verse 2. That is one of the greatest lessons of truth. Comes from Moses, the lawgiver, where he receives a vision from God. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Now, the traditional definition is that the bush represents Israel. The flames represent the trials and tribulations that Israel will endure. But the bush not being consumed by the fire means that Israel will never be destroyed. There is another view of this passage, and that is reality, ultimate reality. The science man says, unless I can see it, feel it, smell it, taste it, or hear it, it's not real. It's not true. The physical laws dominate the universe. They are reality. They are truth. Moses, in this vision, is being taught a different lesson. There is a higher law, the spiritual law. Even though the bush is on fire, it's not consumed because spiritual principles supersede the physical universe. Spiritual principles are eternal truths that never change. That is the ultimate reality, the ultimate truth.
Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Stand in the Gap today. I'm Sam Rohr, Dave Kistler, Gary Dahl, all with us, and David New. Our general theme today, truth. Is it essential or is it a luxury? Next segment, we're going to talk about that aspect of, is it essential? I wonder if you've thought about that. Is truth essential? What happens if we replace truth with lying? We'll find out.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung in Jerusalem, Israel. You often hear me on Stand in the Gap today with Sam, Dave, and Gary. Guess what? We're all coming to Israel. Love to have you come and go with us. The dates are March the 7th, through the 21st. That will include 10 days in Israel, 4 days in Petra, one of the most unique cities in all the world. If you need more information, the itinerary, the exact dates, also the information about cost, call this number, 423-825-6247. That's 423-825-6247. Ask for Jody. She can give you all the information. As Stand in the Gap Today and Prophecy Today go host a tour to Israel. Next year in Jerusalem, we're looking forward to you being here with us.
Americans are a freedom-loving people. Wouldn't it be great if you could carry a copy of the essential documents that outline our freedoms written by our nation's founders in your pocket so you can refer to it every day? Well, now you can. Stand in the Gap Radio has found something you're sure to like, the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide. The handy guide is a slim 6.5 by 3.5 inches, yet it includes the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, the preamble to the Bill of Rights, and other influential documents, including, in the words of our founders, topical quotes from America's founders, plus a listing of online resources for further research by the serious-minded or the just plain curious. To see and request your copy of the Patriot's Essential Liberty Pocket Guide and make your tax-deductible gift of any amount, go to AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. That's AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. Let us hear from you today. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Truth is the absence of falsehood. That's one way to put it. Truth is honesty with no deception. Dave, in the first segment, defined it as conformity to that which is real. But it's also, more than that, it's a matter of fixed moral belief, established by an unchanging moral power. Truth is God. Gary talked about that. Truth is, in fact, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and Jesus Christ is God. But is truth essential to freedom? Ever think about that? Is truth essential to an orderly society? We take these things for granted, but do they just happen? Is truth essential to our constitutional republic? Now, I submit personally, ladies and gentlemen, that truth is essential for all these things, but the question is why? So we're going to talk about that now in this next segment of our general theme, truth. Is it essential or is it a luxury? David New, I want to go to you first. Why is the recognition and the embracing of a commonly accepted definition of truth? I use that word carefully because people have their own idea, so that's why we tried to define it first. Why is the recognition and embracing of a commonly accepted definition of truth necessary for a just government or for justice within society, as Gary referred to coming out of Isaiah, or for equity within the law to exist, and for civil government to accomplish God's design and purpose for civil government? Put those pieces together for us, please. Why is it essential?
Things that are essential to good government or any kind of good government, and they are found in John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Here you've got two universal concepts that are the dream of almost every civilization. That is to find truth, and that is to find freedom. By the way, John 8:32 is the theme, or the official theme, for the CIA. If you ever go to Langley, Virginia, and you look at the wall outside the CIA, you will see John 8:32 and stone printed there. You can read more about it on the internet by just simply Googling John 8:32 and the CIA, and they'll give you the story of how it got there. But be that as it may, without truth, you cannot have justice. And of course, when you look at the preamble, it talks about establish justice. And without truth, you can't really have freedom. Truth transcends time. It transcends education. It transcends race. It transcends gender. It transcends everything. Once something is true, it is true forever. It is true there were Caesars, and it doesn't matter what anybody says, there were Caesars, and that is a truth that will be true 1,000 years from now. It was true 1,000 years ago. It never changes.
So, David,
it transcends everything.
So, David, essentially you're saying, and I think people can identify with this, if truth did not exist and was not reflected in the law, then no one
yes.
could ever be predictable or what would happen, which meaning a policeman could stop you at any time for any reason. Who cares? Because there is no law to govern his action. That's the kind of thing that you're saying. Truth permits assurance, confirming predictable behavior and response of civil government. So you're saying it's essential. If you don't have it, you don't have justice. So I'm going to go
it
right on.
It creates a standard. It creates
okay.
a standard for government.
Okay. That is, I think, ladies and gentlemen, the point. Truth is a standard. Without a standard, you have no predictable law. And if you have no predictable law, no one can govern in an orderly society. It seems to be common sense, yet a lot of people don't understand the connecting of those simple dots. Gary, let me go to you. Why in the concept of truth? And what I'm going to hear now is looking at the three institutions. Civil government started with Dave. That's an institution that God has created, and David has made that clear. I want to ask you about the church, Gary. In the concept of the church, why is the embracing of a commonly accepted definition of truth necessary for a local church or the true church at large to survive and accomplish God's design and purpose for the church? Is it possible without it?
No, it's not possible for the church to accomplish God's design and purpose if it does not build itself based upon the truth. You know, Jesus said back in the Gospel of Matthew, "I will build the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What is it that Jesus Christ builds the church upon? He builds the church upon the truth of the Word of God, the truth of who He, Christ, is, the truth of who God is. And then you go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 that says this, I'm sorry, verse 15, it says this, that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. And so what we see is that the church itself, by its very existence, must build everything that it does, establish everything that it does, on the truth of God and God's Word. When the truth is taken out of the church, then the church is not going to function according to the will and the desire and the purpose of Almighty God. The church is the pillar and the ground of truth, and therefore it must know the truth, it must uphold the truth, and it must proclaim the truth at all times.
And Gary, I think let's make a connection here as well. I mean, do we not see the evidence of many so-called churches and pulpits that religions, ideologies that reject God, reject Jesus Christ, reject the Bible, and as a result have a mission and a message that is totally anti-Christ, anti-God? What you're saying, the true church can't exist without it. We see a lot of examples of churches that have avoided the truth, have we not?
Well, we see it all the time, and we could give many, many illustrations of that. I have in my study a newspaper article from our local newspaper of a church that is having daily vacation Bible school. And the very central theme, listen to this, the very central theme of their daily vacation Bible school was come and taste our new beer collection. Beer. In other words, the Bible was not the center of what they were teaching. They were teaching, talking about their new beer collection. And somebody said, well, should you be teaching that at the vacation Bible school? And the pastor went on to say, well, beer and the Bible goes together. Now, what do you find there? You see, we can extrapolate a lot from that, but it's taking away from the truth. And we see that everywhere. And I have a survey right before me now that says, this was a Barna survey that was taken in the past, that 32% of those who attend conservative Christian churches and 32% of adults who are born again Christians believe in absolute truth. That's a sad, very low figure.
It is, in fact, Gary, it is a sad number, and it does mean a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, you ought to see what happens. The church cannot survive, cannot accomplish its mission, if it rejects truth. It is essential. Same for civil government. Now, Dave, I want to go to you because the family is the bedrock of the nation. It's the bedrock of society. Why is the recognition and embracing of a commonly accepted definition of truth, as we've done it, as we're defining it here, why is that necessary for the family, for marriage, and for the parents, of the whole construct of the whole family and society? Why is that critical if truth is taken up?
Well, Sam, let me use this illustration. We're in the middle of football season, and when you go into a football stadium, you have certain agreed upon, established ahead of time facts. You have guys in striped shirts that are the officials. You have guys in shoulder pads, jerseys, and helmets that are the players. If the players don't agree and understand I'm a player, not an official, and they want to take over the role of the official or vice versa, you're going to have mass confusion. If you don't have agreed upon sidelines, end lines, an end zone that is at the end of either side of the field, and a player thinks, well, I think I ought to be able to be declared having scored a touchdown if I just cross the 50-yard line, or I believe I ought to be able as a quarterback to throw the ball up in the stands and send a receiver out of bounds and up in the stands, and he can catch it up there, and that count as a legitimate play. If you don't have commonly shared, agreed upon principles within the context of a football game, you're going to have mass confusion. Sam, it's all the more true within the context of the family. If we don't have agreed upon roles, the husband is to do this, the wife is to do this, the children are to be and do this. If we don't have those things agreed upon based upon a common standard that David used, the word he used earlier, with respect to what these people are to do and how they're to function, all of it based on the truth of God's word, then you're going to have confusion in the family. And that is precisely what we have. We have confusion with gender roles because we have rejected God's absolute standard of what a male is, a female is, and so on. The confusion and the potential for it is endless apart from God's truth.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're hearing we could go a whole lot further and deeper than what we're doing. But if you walk away with nothing else, truth is a conformity to reality. It is the absence of falsehood. It is defined by God. Actually, truth is God. We're told that in the scripture. Word of God is truth. Jesus Christ said he is the truth, and he's the standard. David New said that truth is a standard. If you take out truth as a standard in a civil government, you have a dictatorial government and laws that you can never predict. You will always be guilty. You can't have a family without standards. You can't run a business without standards, all based on truth. So yes, is truth essential for the maintenance of freedom in an orderly society? It absolutely is. God's idea, that's what he said. When we do it, if things work. When we don't do that, it does not. Now, when we come back, we're going to talk about the implications of rejecting truth. So what happens when we say, I don't agree with you, God, and we reject truth and try to replace it with something else? We're going to talk about some practical applications when we come back. Stay with us right after the break. We'll be back.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, we welcome you back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap Today. And if you're just joining us, perhaps on your lunch break here on the East Coast, we welcome you. We're talking about truth today, the importance of truth to our culture, and answering the simple questions of can our republic survive? The absence of truth, we've defined it in the first segment, and we're going to talk now about the implications of rejecting it. We've identified the fact that truth is a standard, that truth is absolute and unchanging, regardless of what people think. As Dave said, it's a conformity to reality. We've identified the fact that truth is reflected perfectly in God himself. He is the standard, and Jesus Christ, who himself says he is the truth, that it is essential for the existence of liberty and freedom and justice. David New made that very clear, that without the standard, you cannot have predictable government, nor laws, nor justice. It's impossible. David Kistler talked very clearly about you can't have a proper functioning family without a standard of obligations, duties, responsibilities, and that comes from God. Gary made it clear for the church as well. So we're going to talk now here about the implications of rejecting truth in any nation, and we're going to talk about our nation. So let's use some current examples if we could. Dave Kistler, I want to go to you here first. Yesterday on this program, we talked about the Islamic murderer in New York City who killed 8 people and wounded 12 others. And as we speak, is just ecstatic with the fact that he caused so much death and destruction. We've also talked in the past about how anti-Christ Islam, which is his mentality, how that atheistic Marxism and similar ideologies all embrace the concept of lying. Matter of fact, Islam takes to a high point and says it's actually exactly makes it a mandate that they are to lie if they believe that. We've talked about public officials who will not call out Islam as teaching this death and terrorists that they're involved in. I'd like you to talk about it right now. Explain why or how the rejection of truth in our culture produces these surreal realities, if we put that way, and the implications that if not dealt with straight up, Dave, is going to destroy us as a nation.
Well, Sam, if we do not have a standard of what is real versus what is not real, then you end up having statements like this, and you hear it coming from many times the lips of a millennial generation, and they'll say things like this: well, that may be true for you, but that is not true for me. Let me go back to the illustration I gave at the beginning of the program. The laws of electricity are true for everyone. It's not true for me and not true for you. If you put your finger inside an electrical outlet or a piece of metal inside an electrical outlet while you're clutching it with your thumb and finger, you will get electrocuted. That is the truth. That is reality. So the same is true with this issue of Islam or anything else. There are certain things that are just absolutely real about that religion, and no amount of denial of that on the part of our leaders is going to alter the reality of what Islam is. So unless we come to an acknowledgement of what is true and accept that, then our leaders can lie to us, can perpetuate this thing. Islam is a religion of peace when it is not. We're safe here in America when the facts are we may not be safe. And our leaders, Sam, are doing the consummate disservice to the citizenry of this country by denying that which is real, and that is Islam is a religion of terrorism. That is its 1,400-year history. So unless we agree on what the truth is with respect to this, we're in deep trouble in this country, and the fact is we are in deep trouble.
And Dave, as you tell, you didn't say it, if we don't deal with it, an implication of rejecting truth is that we will lose our security. We will lose our freedom, and we, for many, will lose our lives. It's that real. That's the example. Now, David New, your great expertise is the area of law, the courts, and the judicial system. Make any connection you can at this point between major court decisions, perhaps, that have catapulted this nation to the point we are in, by so doing, perhaps, rejecting truth from those in those positions of government.
Well, one of the most important decisions, one of the most devastating decisions to the American family that David Kistler was talking about is Lawrence v. Texas, where the court effectively legalized sodomy. And then, of course, it then proceeded to declare the gay marriage to be a constitutional right. This is absolute corruption. People in America want to find freedom. Well, where do you get freedom? Do I become free when I have lots of money or when I have lots of education? Or is it lots of guns and bullets that make me free? Or is it drugs or alcohol? How do I find freedom? That is the great thing Americans are looking for. The answer is truth, and the truth shall make you free. When you take Christians in the former Soviet Union who were locked up for their faith in Christ, locked up for year after year, those people were more free than the communists in Moscow. And that's what people don't understand. When you move away from God, move away from his definition of family, you may think you're becoming free, but you are going further into bondage and sin.
Well, David, you made that clear, and I think you could go much further even than what you did, because you're saying that in the case of the courts, when they redefined marriage, I'm going to put it in another perspective, they made a decision in the court. They set aside the truth of God's word, and they declared that the killing of babies was fine.
Now, oh, yeah, they used abortion. Right? They used the 14th Amendment to do that. And that 14th Amendment, they call it the Federal Abortion Amendment. I call it the Federal Death Amendment.
Okay.
Because it caused the slaughter of more Americans than anything.
And David, would you not say that that is a prime example of setting aside the definition of truth and a standard as you're talking about? When that happens, Is there not a connection between the attitude of death that has developed, the breakdown of the family and marriage, and all of these bizarre and wild aberrations of sexual activity from Harvey Weinstein and Jeffrey Epstein and all these fellas? Are these not a result of setting aside truth in government and saying these things are permissible when God says they're not?
Absolutely. And when you devalue human life as basically what abortion does, then human life becomes cheap and it becomes vulnerable. And that's why we see the kind of killings that we see today in this country, because we don't value human life the way we used to, the way it should be done.
And Dave, let me finish this before I go to Gary. In the case of those in office, be they in the judiciary or in Congress, wherever, yes, they put their hand up when they're sworn into office, they take an oath of office. And that oath of office is to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. If there is no truth, what does that oath mean?
It means absolutely nothing. And that's the problem. We cease to become a government of laws, but a government of men. And when that happens, you're in trouble. You're finished.
Would you go as far, Dave, as saying the president has talked about the rule of law? We've talked about the rule of law a lot, but in reality, you could almost say it's the rule of truth. Could you not?
Absolutely. They are cousins. They operate in the same field, and to have one and not have the other is almost impossible. You really can't, because they're in the same stream. They feed the same things, they grow and prosper the same people, and you, when you reject either one, you've lost half the ingredients for a good life.
All right, Gary, let me go to you now. Implications for our nation, the implications of rejecting truth. Give some examples here of what happens and will happen when truth is rejected as it relates to our families and as it relates to the church, and what God says about a people who reject that truth.
Well, whether you're talking about the family, the church, or the government, where truth is rejected, then transgressions are multiplied. And again, I encourage people to take some time to read down through Isaiah chapter 59. And so, you know, where truth is rejected, transgression is multiplied, and we get further and further away from God. And that's bad for all three of these institutions, the home, the church, and the family, because all three are institutions of God. You see, I think one of the things we need to keep in mind is that truth is a choice. And society today, in all three of those institutions, have chosen to deny truth in order to appeal to their own fleshly desires. And when that happens, we go back again to Isaiah chapter 59. The truth is thrown out on the streets. It is pressed down. It is done away with. And what we find is that wickedness prevails. Let me try to put it this way. This is a philosophy for people to think about. Truth is absolute, not circumstantial. Absolute truth is absolute, meaning that it's positive, certain, and definite. Truth that is relative, that is based on circumstances, is not truth. And truth that is absolute stems from God. Truth based upon circumstances is changeable and is no truth. So we need to get back to absolute truth from an absolute God through his absolute word.
Gary, that's a quotable one. And ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you, go to our website, standinthegapradio.com, or to your app. If you have not downloaded your iPhone or Android, download our free app by putting in the phrase Stand in the Gap. And you can pick up that quote that Gary just gave, and this entire program and all our archives there easily. I encourage you to do that. Now, in the last segment, we are going to pursue the theme, the steps to restoring a culture of truth. How do you restore a culture of truth when a culture has denied it and walked away from it?
Hello, this is Sam Rohrer. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and his works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, in this last segment today, ladies and gentlemen, we gave, actually in the last segment, the one we just went through, we gave a couple of very brief examples of how the rejection of truth by those in government have caused evil laws and injustice to be incurred. We talked about how the rejection of truth has and is creating a circumstance where the very Antichrist ideology of Islam and Marxism and humanism, I would add, is assaulting our nation, stealing our children's minds, distorting human sexuality, redefining marriage, and has replaced the worship of God with the worship of things made by man's hands. But the worst impact that God himself rejects himself is when God rejects a nation who rejects the truth and therefore rejects him. At that point, the blessing on a nation turns into judgment on a nation. Essential. Truth, essential. Not a luxury. So in this segment, we're going to talk about the steps to restore a culture of truth, which I would submit in this country today, right now, we do not have a culture of truth. Gary, I want to start with you in this solution segment by asking you this question. Since a nation is made up of individuals who then form families, who then form communities, and then forms the nation, what would you outline as steps for individuals and families to take in regard to truth as an effort to rebuilding what's important in the family and the personal life? So I know you're going to take us to the Word of God because that's the source of truth. So, Gary, lay down a brief outline for us.
Well, I just have my Bible open here to Psalm 119 and verse 30, and I didn't even give you a tweak, did I? Psalm 119 and verse 30 says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I mentioned earlier in the last segment that truth is a choice. You either choose to go the way of truth or choose to reject the way of truth. And so it does start with that choice. And particularly in our Christian homes and families and churches, we need to make sure that the truth is that which prevails. And if you were to put this in a three-step process, I would say this. Number one, recognize the necessity of truth in every aspect of life, because without it, anything goes and everything fails. Secondly, since truth is grounded in the Scriptures, and since it stems from God, we must get back to the Scriptures always, remembering that Jesus said in John chapter 17 and verse 17, Thy word is truth. And then thirdly, we must examine everything, every thought, every attitude, every action, every activity from the basis of biblical truth. If it's not according to biblical truth, we don't do it. If it's according to biblical truth, we do it. And on every level of life, I think that's a pattern we need to follow.
Well, I tell you, Gary, what you just laid out there was a wonderful outline. I couldn't write it all down, and I can't restate it briefly. So again, ladies and gentlemen, go to our website when we're done. Pick it up, and you can listen at your leisure and write down what Gary just said about the steps for rebuilding truth into your personal life, your family's life, then ultimately into the nation's life. Now, Dave, let me go to you. Gary's a pastor of a church. What he laid out there is exactly how he would counsel his people and would counsel the congregation, and it's all biblical. It'll work. You're an evangelist. You are in many churches. You preach around the country, and you preach to many different people every week. What are you preaching about truth and how people should respond, and if they did, it would help to restore a culture of truth?
Sam, basically what I'm trying to do is help people understand that truth is objective, not subjective. And let me explain what I mean by that. Humanism is that which dominates our culture. The basic definition, core definition of humanism is this: man is the measure of all things. In other words, I as an individual, a man, I determine if something is true, if it's not, if it's right, if it's wrong. But see, here's the problem with me being the determiner of what's right or wrong, truth or false. I am subject to mistakes because I'm human. So what if I'm wrong about my assessment of what's true and not true? So rather than making truth subjective, truth has to be objective. In other words, it has to be outside of me. Every person has to choose an objective source of truth. What I've chosen and what I've chosen to exalt is the Word of God as that objective source of truth. So as I'm preaching, Sam, around the country, what I'm trying to do is make much of the Word. Make much of the Word of God, because it is, as Gary quoted earlier, it is the source of truth. And boy, if we would go back to that, it would solve all of our problems.
So here again, ladies and gentlemen, truth is a standard. Truth is Jesus Christ. He says he is the truth, the way, the life. Truth is referred to as the Word of God. Gary said we've got to go back to the Bible. Everything about truth, orderliness, a predicted nature and outcome, confidence, all of those things that are related to unchanging, predictable outcomes in life, all stem from truth that is a standard, that is unchanging, that is absolute. We walk away from, we're in trouble. Now, David, take us into the realm of civil government, if you could. There are steps that could be put into place that would help perhaps those who are in office, who would be in office, or voters who would consider at the time of voting who they will put in office. Connect that with truth and how embracing truth appropriately in those settings would make a difference.
During the Constitutional Convention, Benjamin Franklin referred to a time when things were very difficult and they were having trouble. And he reminded the delegates that when they prayed to God for victory, when all things looked like it was going to fail during the Revolution, God gave them victory. George Washington, James Madison, Thomas Jefferson all believed that God gave America the victory in the Revolutionary War. And in Washington's farewell address, one of the most powerful documents in American history, and if we were to go back to the truths found in that document, America would be going on the right direction. He said this: of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Today, the secularists claim religion is the problem. George Washington believed religion was the answer.
Wow, David New, that's fantastic. Religion there is not just any religion denomination. It is the Christian religion. It is the truth. And that is the anchor point, ladies and gentlemen, here. David Kistler, could I ask you here in these closing moments, take us to the Lord in prayer, if you could, and pray for these things and for our listeners to be able to take these principles and apply them in their lives.
Father, we thank you so much for giving us the avenue of radio to communicate the truth. And Lord, I thank you for the standard, which is the Word of God, that tells us what is true, what is false, what is right, what is wrong. It distinguishes clearly between light and darkness. And so, Father, I pray you would help both our national leaders as well as those who stand in the pulpits of this country and the American people in general to embrace once again your eternal truth, the Word of God, and the one who is the way and the truth, Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, one parting word. On the ceiling of the House of Representatives in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, is a verse, and it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." That truth is Jesus Christ. The truth is freedom. The opposite, the rejection of Christ, rejection of truth, is bondage. I choose freedom, and I hope you do too.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.